Mark 5, beginning at verse 21. What we hear now is God's Word. "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, fell at his feet, and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be well and live.' And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.' While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.' And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, 'Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and took the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight, in many ways, I guess we're having a continuation of last week Sunday evening's sermon. We talked about the fact that Jesus came to declare the glories of the kingdom of God. And what made that kingdom so great, children? Remember what I said. What made the kingdom so great is that the king lives there. King Jesus, the ruler of his kingdom. And we saw last week the power of that king exercised. A power exercised over the realm of nature. As they were going across the water, the storm came up, and Jesus, with a word, could calm the waves. "Peace, be still." The power of the king over the natural world. We also saw his power over the supernatural. As he came across the water, this demoniac came and addressed him, and Jesus was able to free this man from his bondage. A man enslaved to Satan, and Jesus, by the power of the king, sets him free. Jesus' power over the natural, Jesus' power over the supernatural. And today, the story continues with the power of the king. Tonight, we look at the power of the king over disease and the power of the king over death. And yet, there's something that's added in these last two pieces of the story. It was certainly under the surface, maybe in the last two stories, but here more explicit. The command to believe. The calling forth of faith from those who would see the power of the king exercised. Tonight we look at these stories as an encouragement to us to continue to place our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who is the king, the one who has the power, the one who is ruling even now over the kingdom. We look at the power of the king over disease. And this is the part of the story about this woman who had a discharge of blood. And it's interesting that this story almost comes as a parenthesis in the greater story. Jesus goes across the water, and this synagogue leader comes to him and addresses him and makes his request to him. And as Jesus is going, we have this somewhat parenthetical account. The great crowd followed him and thronged after him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. A woman with a bleeding disorder for 12 years. Now, I hesitate to try to tell the children how long 12 years is. I get sometimes confused about times and numbers. But 12 years, children, is a long time. 12 years ago, I think I was 34, but if I'm wrong, my family will correct me later, okay? 12 years is a long time to have this issue of blood going on. Some of you children are 12 years old, maybe not even 12 years old yet. It would be your whole lifetime. She had suffered again and again and again, and she had gone to doctor after doctor, having gone to many physicians, and the text said, suffered much under them. Medicine in that time was not as advanced as medicine today. The doctors were not as well learned. And so there would be times where they might be able to heal the disease, but the person would still die because the cure was worse than the disease itself. The woman had suffered under the care of many doctors, looking for relief here, looking for relief there, and all she got was worse and worse and worse. For 12 years, suffering with this bleeding disorder until she saw the king. She had heard about Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly what stories she had heard, but certainly the stories of his power were circulating through the region. She had heard the stories about him. And she said to herself, if I can only touch his garments, I know I'll be made well. She had such belief in the stories she had heard. She had such belief in the power of Jesus that even if I have to talk with him, if I can only touch his garment, I know that will be enough to make me well. And she saw him, and she went up to him, and she touched him. And verse 29 says, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was free of the disease. Immediately, the power of the king was able to release this woman for the suffering she had undergone for the last 12 years, simply by the touch of his garment. The power of the king. Power over disease. And yet, as she is healed, as she knows in her own body she has been made well, Jesus too knows something has happened. This is no surprise to him. And so Jesus turns around in the crowd and says, who touched my garments? It was a question that the disciples thought was kind of a strange question to ask. He's in the crowd. He's being jostled about. And they say, what do you mean, who touched you? We're all going along the road here. We're a crowd here. Of course there's going to be people bumping into you. Jesus says, no. Who touched my garments? Who touched me? Can you imagine the fear of that woman?
She thought she had come up quietly and touched his garment and could leave. But he calls her out. Who touched me? Who touched my garments? And she, in fear and trembling, falls down before him. Verse 33, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down and told him the whole story. Now, she didn't know what would happen. Maybe Jesus would be angry with her. Maybe he would give her the issue of blood once again, remove the healing. And yet she comes and makes confession before him and falls down and tells the whole truth. And as this woman comes and acknowledges who she put her faith in, who Jesus was, he speaks to her directly. Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Jesus does not undo the healing. But Jesus goes even beyond to give her assurance of her healing. Can you imagine if she had actually gotten away? The fear she would live in. Maybe someday Jesus will find out. Maybe someday a week from now or a month from now or a year from now, he'll hear what has happened and he'll be angry with me. Jesus, in his love, calls her forward. Jesus, in concern for her, with compassion on her, won't let her simply sneak away in the back of the crowd and have to wonder for the rest of her life, would Jesus ever find out? But he calls her forward and speaks a word of peace to her. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. She would be assured. She had not stolen something from Jesus. But she, in faith, reached out and touched, and he blessed that expression of her faith. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Her faith in the power of the King, her faith in what Jesus could do, she had heard the stories, her faith in him, he says, has made you well. Her faith was the instrument of her healing. She had believed. She had heard. She had reached out in faith. And that expression of faith became then the instrument for her healing of that 12-year affliction. Now the power for the healing was in Jesus. It wasn't as if her faith had the power to heal. It was the instrument of her healing, but the power resided with the King. The power resided in Jesus. We could say that Jesus' power was the ground of her healing. And her faith was the instrument to bring that healing into her body. And the result? Daughter, go in peace. What a beautiful picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture of the way that Jesus deals with us in our afflictions, in our weakness, in our frailty. We have heard the stories that he is the King. We've been talking about that for weeks. We have heard the stories. But will we believe the story? Perhaps you are here tonight and have never yet really put your faith, put your trust in what Jesus can do. I assure you, he has the power. He has the power not over disease, but over sin, which causes disease in some instances. He has the power to relieve us of the oppression that we feel. Some of us in our earlier years have done things, have said things, have committed sins which are like an issue of blood for 12 years that keep binding us, that keep hurting us, and we go everywhere we can to try to find relief. instead of going to Jesus and confessing his power to forgive, trusting in the King, the one who is able to heal all our diseases. Psalm 103 is such a beautiful picture. He heals our diseases. He removes our iniquities. The power of our God to care for us, his children, when we publicly reach out in faith and embrace him. Jesus doesn't allow her to stay in the background. But she is publicly called forward to confess what she has done and her belief, her faith in him. The power of the King is there to heal and to save and to restore. But Jesus calls forth from you the response of faith, the belief that he can wipe away all your sin. That you might declare publicly that you do believe him, that you do trust him, that you do acknowledge him as Lord of your life. Jesus won't let us sit in the background. He won't let us be, my apologies to those in the back row, he won't let us be back row Christians, kind of on the edge of things. But he calls us to openly acknowledge who he is. Express our faith, declare our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who heals all our diseases. That's the power of the King for those who will embrace him by faith. Jesus has this encounter, this parenthetical encounter with the woman with the issue of blood. But he is on his way to demonstrate his power over death itself. Verse 21, Jesus crosses over, a great crowd is gathered, he's beside the sea, and one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, seeing him, fell at his feet, implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death, come and lay your hands on her, so she can be made well and live." And in these two stories of Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood, there are certain parallels that need to be recognized. It's not to be overlooked that this daughter is 12 years old. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She, for a portion of her life, struggling. This daughter, apparently having a good life for those whole 12 years, and only now at the 12-year point, being at the point of death. We have Jairus, the synagogue ruler. A man known to us by name, his name given us in Scripture, and the woman who is only known as the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her name. Jairus was a somebody. Jairus, a ruler in the synagogue. This woman, a nobody. And yet both with the same need. Both with the same need to know the saving touch of Jesus. The power of the gospel is for all who will believe. It is not only for those who are well known in the community, for those with the right titles before or after their name. The power of the gospel is for all of us. For the somebodies, for the nobodies, for all who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is going along, and Jairus talks to him, and Jesus says, "I will go with you." And they are on their way. And as they're on their way, you can imagine Jairus being happy, being excited. He'd accomplished his purpose. He went to get Jesus, and Jesus was now with him. And as they're going along, suddenly this woman shows up. And she touches Jesus, and he stops the crowd, and he speaks with her. And you can imagine Jairus' impatience. "My little daughter is dying. I had him coming. And this woman has now stopped us in our tracks." And in fact, the delay was too much. And someone else from the household comes. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Jairus had come while his daughter was sick. And although it was a desperate situation, there was hope yet. Now the word comes. Don't even bother the teacher, for she has died. Completely hopeless situation. And yet Jesus is the one who takes the hopeless and makes it hopeful. He hears them as they're talking. And he says to the synagogue ruler, "Do not fear, only believe." The call to faith. The call to believe in the one who can do the impossible. And they go along and they continue on their way to the house. And as they arrive there, they see this whole commotion going on, and people are weeping and people are wailing. This man, a prominent man, that he would have had public mourners there, professional mourners, to mourn for his daughter. And Jesus walks through the crowd. "Why are you making all this commotion, all this fuss? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laugh. Jesus will exercise and will demonstrate his power. But he will do that for those who have faith in him. They laugh at his comment. Jairus comes along. They laugh. "And he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those with him." Jesus will demonstrate his power over death, but will not do so in the presence of unbelief. Will not do so in the presence of those who scorn, of those who mock. He puts them all out. But for the one who put their faith in Jesus, for Jairus, for his mother, for the daughter's mother, for those who are with Jesus, they will see the power displayed. And he simply goes to her and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she gets up. The child is healed by the power of the King. Brought back to life once again. Not merely sickness, but Jesus' power over death. The father believed he could do it. In spite of all the evidence, in spite of the word, "She's dead, don't bother him." Yet they go along, "Do not fear, only believe. Put your faith, put your trust in the King, and you will see miraculous things." And the same is true for us. Jesus has the power over death, evidenced in this story, as a pre-picture that his power over death will be evidenced in his own life. Children, Jesus will live his life, and in the prime of his life will be cut down. He will be nailed on a cross. Everything will look desperate. It will look like the devil has won. And there will be those that would say, "Let's just not bother anymore. He's gone. He's done." But Jesus' power is not limited by what we can imagine. Jesus would demonstrate his power, his power over death by rising from the grave. And in demonstrating his own power over death as that King who truly has all power and all glory, we know, we are assured, he has the power to care for us. He has the power to remove our sin. He has the power to walk with us through this entire life. And he has the power to assure us that our life will not end, but we will live forever with him. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ, who are not distracted by what they see around them, but who put their faith firmly and solidly in him, they will see life eternal. Will that be your destiny? Do you believe in this Jesus Christ, this King, so much that you will trust Him with your very life? That you will trust that He will go with you to lead and to guide and to direct? And that even in spite of obstacles, in spite of huge obstacles, death itself, you will live because Jesus Christ lives. He is the King. He is all-powerful. More powerful than the forces of nature. He calms the sea. Peace be still. More powerful than the supernatural. From all the things that bombard us, not only from outside but from inside, He gives peace. He is the King who is more powerful than disease. He speaks the word and a 12-year affliction is stopped immediately. And He assures, daughter, son, go in peace. He has the power over death itself. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who would go through death but overcome death, that we might be assured. Even in our hour of trial, even in the hour of our death, it is not the end for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those who laughed, those who did not put their faith in Him, they were put outside. They did not see the power. But for those who believed, the power of life from the grave demonstrated to them. Do you believe? Is that your faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, again, it is not that our faith is so powerful. Our faith is merely the instrument by which we embrace the glories of the King. He has the power. He has the glory. Have you embraced Him as your Lord, as your Savior? Pray together. Lord our God, we in our lives all face various troubles, various trials, various afflictions, various persecutions. And it is so easy for us to look everywhere else for the answers. To look to pop psychology, to look to the latest self-help books, to look everywhere but to You. Forgive us, O God, when we, like the woman, search for doctor after doctor after doctor. Help us, O God, to look to You in all the troubles, in all the trials, in all the fears, in all the sorrows that we have. To embrace You by faith. To know that You who could raise Your own Son from the dead will certainly care for us, Your children. As a father has compassion on children, so You, O God, have compassion on us. And You allow us tonight to be reminded of that compassion. Reminded of Your power. And to hear the words to all who embrace You by faith. Go in peace and be healed. Oh God, increase our faith that we might trust You more and more and more in the days and weeks to come. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.